Okay, testing, testing. One, two, one, two.
Does it do the thing when I do the thing again?
No, it doesn't. It's not
Okay,
recording
great.
you now. Okay, I like the gain. I like the waveforms. I like the pretty
Okay,
waveforms
good.
now. Okay, so now that we have canonically gotten to the point where we have gone to quote
Yeah.
unquote Gettysburg, we can talk about Gettysburg a little
Yes,
bit.
we can. Yes, we can.
Yeah, because we have two stories from Gettysburg. We had the whole like weird woo woo, like the hair on the back of her head stood up and I ran out of there like a little bitch. And then we have me staring down the old man on the street because he was being a fucking creeper and I don't like
Yes.
it when people stare at me.
Yeah, that was a time. Ooh, that was a time.
Yeah, so we went on who was it? What was the name of the company? Do you remember? After Dark Investigations?
That sounds right. Yeah, let's
Okay.
go with
Yeah,
that.
so we got a company down in Gettysburg. So like we drove around Gettysburg a lot and I'm like, take picture, maybe I'll get a ghost. I didn't get
Of
shit.
course
So
not.
yeah. And so we went driving around Gettysburg like all day long and then like checking out all the stuff. And
It was really cool.
yeah, like I've never seen something like that, but like we saw some of your friends there with the rebel flag.
It took everything in me not to just yell like really dumb shit just to see what they did. It was a bad time. It was a bad time.
It didn't make sense
It was a
why
bad time.
it was the worst loss of the Confederate Army, and these
Yeah.
people there were there with like the Dixie flag.
Yeah. He was straight up wearing a like rebel battle flag hat, like you know, your
Yep.
typical like everybody sees the hat and they're like, that guy's a racist, like that hat.
Yep.
It was a bad time. And I think he had all of maybe one and a half teeth, which I mean, I guess that makes sense, but woo, that was a rough time.
Yeah, so that was funny. We kept running into him like, "Hey, Zoe, there's your friends," and she's like, "The fuck not,
Absolutely not. No. No.
absolutely not, yeah." So we ended up just we got there like 3 hours before we were supposed to do the thing because we
That
were doing
sounds
the
right,
thing
yeah.
at 9, and we got there like 6. So drove around Gettysburg, saw a bunch of stuff. Which, if you're just in the area or you're close by, it's really worth it to go drive up there because
Super worth it.
there's a driving track you can like. It's really good on Google too, so you can like follow the driving trail and see all the really cool places. And there's like monuments everywhere telling you all the brigades
Literally.
that showed up, like all the people that died. And it's like it's really cool. And like there's this like statues you can climb on, like legally, like they're
Yeah,
stairs,
like
like not
they're
like
not like
no.
statues, they're monuments.
Thank
Monuments
you,
that
I
you can
could.
climb on, yeah.
Monuments. Thank
Yeah.
you. Monuments with stairs that you can appropriately walk up and get on top. I'm a fucking I don't. Don't laugh at me.
You're fine. I'm not laughing. Everything is fine.
You dick. I will just say, I know it didn't come across the audio recording, but you were laughing at me in a silent tone. Anyways,
Yeah,
so we drove
was.
around and then we went to the Irish bar.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah,
On
that was
the
very
way to the
enjoyable.
Yes, on the way to the Irish bar, though, I know there's a running consistency of I do not like to be fucking stared at,
Absolutely not.
especially by old white men. Do not
Woo!
fucking stare at me. So I got into a staring match with an old man.
Wasn't even a staring match, I don't think. He was just looking at you, and then you looked at him really intently, and then he looked at you like, what the fuck? What's happening?
No. Okay, so like we're at a stoplight, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
I look over, and there is
Yeah.
an old white man staring at me. And I remember I just lock eyes with him. I'm like, it's go time. It's fucking go time. So I'm slapping Zoe on the thigh. I'm like, tell me when it's green. Tell me when it's fucking green. And I'm just staring at him. I'm like, there's no way this motherfucker is staring at
You were
me
saying
while
all
I'm
this out loud, too.
right. I'm like, he's fucking staring. Like, I am literally speaking to the people in my car, and Zoe's like, you are making me so uncomfortable. I was like, good
Yep.
bitch.
Woo.
So I'm just staring this guy down, and he's staring me back, and I'm talking to him. I was like, there's no fucking way this guy's staring at me. There's no way. He's I don't
Yeah.
know, like, I don't know, 50 feet from me on the sidewalk, and we're just staring each other down. And I'm like, Zoe, tell me when it's green. And then I'm like, this motherfucker's staring at me. And it just pissed me off. Don't fucking look at me. So then he did something funny that caught me off guard. The light turned green. Zoe didn't tell me. And then the old guy points to the light and
Yeah, I
to
was.
indicate that it was green. And it just kind of threw me through a loop. And I actually started laughing. So I was like, he was actually staring at me. What the fuck?
It
But
was
then he
really
was.
strange. 'Cause,
But it
'cause,
was real.
oh.
It was really weird. So I ended up just like laughing and waving at him, and then he waved back, and then I drove off, and then I just started ranting and raving about old white men. So anyways, yeah,
staring at you.
Yes. Yeah, this is good. I'm so glad that made you uncomfortable, but here we are.
It did. It really did.
Poor Blake in the backseat just was saying fucking nothing. He was like, I'm not getting involved with this.
No, mm-hmm. They can argue. It's fine.
Yeah, that was, don't fucking stare at me. Okay, so then we ate the food, and then we went to
10 out of 10 food, by the way, and the beer was really good, too.
What was it? Was an Irish pub in downtown Gettysburg, and I can't remember the name of it.
Me neither. I got the receipt somewhere.
But anyways, you can just Google Irish pub in Gettysburg, and it's that one. Like, if you're like, I don't know if it's that one. So, I'm pretty sure there's only one. So, we it's 9 o'clock rolls around, so we go up to the back of this parking lot where the company was like, hey, meet our person there.
Yeah.
And she comes rolling up with, like, all of this fucking equipment. God, so she had, stuff. Like, she had a, the radio thing. Why do I fucking blank every time?
Oh, no, I'm blanking.
Yeah, right? You asked me so many times to make it. The
spirit box. There we go.
Spirit box. Thank you. She had like two spirit boxes. She had two Ovilus fives. She had motion sensitive balls. Like they would light up if you turn them on and move them. And then
bunch of EMF detectors, some like thermometers.
Yes. Like laser thermometers too, which was cool. And then, this was one that I've never seen. It was the green laser beam.
Yeah. She had the laser grid.
Yeah, and for the shadow people, because she's like, you can turn it off, because she's like, shadow people like don't like to be in your vision or be seen. And she said you could turn it off, turn it back on, and sometimes you could catch people.
Yeah, I absolutely did not touch that. No.
Yeah, we don't fuck with shadow people, so we're absolutely like, fuck not. No. So she had a bunch of stuff, and it was really cool. She's like, you're welcome to have at it. So we went to the most notable thing that we had that was worth mentioning is that we went to
Saks Covered Bridge. That was the first place we went.
Saks Covered Bridge, which was where it was really fun, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. So
I thought it was fun. I thought it was great until I felt like I was gonna take a nap.
Yep, until we were both gonna like, all right, it's nap time. So we ended up picking up the Ovilus 5. I ended up picking it up because I was like, I want that. So I grabbed it. The first thing I picked it up, it was like, I gotta pull it up on my phone. Hang on, because like,
say you got a picture. It was a wild time.
Yeah, so I should have had this. Here it is. It's right here. No, it's right here. Yeah, so I picked it up. I picked up the Ovilus, and I start walking with it because we're going to go to Ida's tree, right, where she was hung. If you go back to the Gettysburg episodes, we talk about that a little bit. So we go to the actual tree where she was hung, and as soon as I pick it up, I don't even get off the fucking bridge headed that way, and all of a sudden, I get children, gag, and banned on the Ovilus immediately, and I went,
oh.
I am so fucking uncomfortable. It is not even funny. So we go down to the tree, and she tells us, like, it's haunted, like, it's cursed, like, it's cursed. And she's like, don't touch the tree. Absolutely she's like, just not. Don't. Yes. She's like, please, do not touch the tree. It's not funny. It's not cute. Like, something bad will happen to you. She said she had so many people touch the tree, immediately something bad happens to them. She's like, I've watched. She's like, people trip. She goes, people will turn around and immediately trip on nothing. She said that she had a guy break his leg, sprain his ankle, get pulled over by the cops on the way home. She goes, bad shit happens when you touch the tree. Don't touch the fucking tree.
Yeah. Easy. Simple. Don't do it.
Right. Thankfully, no one touched the tree while we were there. And I was like, no fucking problem. I will not get within
touching distance of this tree.
Yeah. I didn't get within 10 feet of that motherfucker. I was like, I'm going to take a lap around it. And as soon as I got close to it, I was like, no, I'm not. Absolutely not. Woo! So we're trying to get like something to come through, and what was really creepy is that the group who were being assholes next to us.
Oh God, teenagers! God. Lord have mercy.
Yes, the guy was on a date with a girl.
What it was?
Yeah, that's he was trying to show off to that girl, and like he was with his parents,
She
was. Right, it was fucking weird. And he was like acting like all macho man. I wanted to fucking drown that kid. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So he was calling out the things that he was getting on his Ovilus 5, and we were getting the same things. Not like at the same time.
Yeah.
But then like because he got Linda on his thing. And then, like, I don't know, like 5-10 minutes later, I got Linda on mine, which is really weird. And as soon as they walked away, we got like multiple shirt people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said happen often.
Yeah.
And it was really weird because that showed up like after they walked away, and they were wearing like a bunch of hoodies and shit, and which was kind of funny. So I was like, are you talking? Yeah, I was like, are you talking about them? Like,
what's happening here? Weird.
Yes. So what was really creepy is that we went past the tree and we went down to like where there's a little dam.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where shit started getting weird, and we didn't understand what was happening because I'm standing there and we're all like all three of us. Blake's there. Blake's not really saying too much, but he's there.
He was there for the ride. Yeah.
He was there for the ride. He was not there for the time. So. Yeah. So he's just like huddled up. He's like, what the fuck?
This is dumb. Why am I here?
Yes. So you, you start, oh, the cat just called me and it scared the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
So you, what happened to you? Tell me what happened.
So I was, so there, we were next to right this creek, you know, and there's like a little dam. So Katie is standing close to the bank, like maybe 2-3 feet away from the water's edge. Blake is immediately behind her. And then I am like triangled up to the two of them, right? All of a sudden, like, I'm facing towards where Ida's tree is, away from the water. My right ear, it feels like I can't hear out of it. Like, completely, like, there's cotton over my ear. And I was like, okay, that's really strange. Why? So I didn't know if it was just the water or something else weird was happening. So I turned, and, like, it wasn't directly at the water. It was slightly in front of Katie and myself. So I turned the other way, and my other ear had the same thing, and I could hear fine out of my right. So being the asshole that I am, I was like, hey, Katie, here. And, like, pushed her into that little spot.
Absolutely the fuck not. You immediately grabbed me, you're like, here, turn. And I was like, nope, nope, don't touch me. Do not fucking touch me. I immediately backed up, and she's like, no, like, my ears. No, and I'm like, that's great for you, sweetie. Like, that's not fucking happening for me. And then as soon as, like, she says that, and she says she can't hear, the whole entire time, the whole night, this never happened to me again, has never happened to me before.
Me either.
The hair on the back of my head just started tingling and, like, standing up just on the back of my head. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And then all of a sudden, you said you got dizzy, and then I started getting dizzy.
Yep.
And Blake was like, are the both of you okay? And I'm like, no, dude. No, like,
something's happening.
Something's going on. And as soon as we said that, we realized something was happening. My ovulus goes fucking wild, which the whole entire night, I would only at most get three words at a time.
Yep.
And this thing just goes the fuck off. So I'm also very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
About like being dizzy and like it, I just felt really overwhelmed. And so when I started hearing it go off in my hands, I just didn't really understand how to process it. So I ended up posting a picture on Instagram about it. But basically the words that I immediately got right off the bat were, as soon as it said Ida, it said Ida, why would that even pop up on the ovulus? I have no idea. Right? So all of a sudden Ida shows up, and I was like, Zoe says Ida, and then it just goes fucking nuts. So then I get thermal, I hear devil, and that's when I actually started to panic and be like, absolutely the fuck not. Forever certain, snap, nana, cheat, horse, American 100, starve.
Yep.
Just all of this rattles straight the fuck off.
Like nonstop.
So I'm like, nonstop. And so as soon as I heard devil, and it said it in like a deeper tone on the ovulus, which was super weird. Even though it was set to a female voice, I like slapped Zoe. I was like, "We're leaving. I'm going." And she's like, "No." Like,
no, we need to
stay. I was like, "You were in a woo-woo state at that point.
I don't know.
You were weird, and I was getting aggravated with it. I'll be honest with you. And I was like, "No. This is not like, oh, thanks for coming to talk to us." It's like, "No, thanks. Bye, bitch." So you were like, no, I want to stay. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm a bitch. I'm tapping out. Goodbye. So I ended up walking out and I just left you and Blake because it was like, you want to deal with it.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember like in that instance after I got dizzy, the first two words that I heard from the ovulance, like we went back and looked, but the first two things I heard was clairvoyant and then healer, like back to back. And then I think Ida and so on and so forth. It was a weird time. It was a weird experience. It was very strange.
Healer came through.
Yeah.
No. Right before that, clairvoyant came through. And then after that, healer came through.
Yes.
And it was really weird.
Yes.
It was just weird. We were like, that was like the one creepiest moment. And then everything else through the rest of the night, like we went to the Roosevelt Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And she told a story about how a guy got, like, ripped on his ass by a ghost and, like, actually drew blood and shit. And that was really funny.
Yeah, that one kind of made me laugh.
She said that all of the ovuluses that one night that she went there with the group were just going, devil, devil, awesome. Devil, yep. Devil, devil, cool. Devil, devil. And she was like, and the whole group collectively agreed to just throw the shit in the box and run. And so they all jumped in the car and left. But when we were there, what was really weird is that Blake was holding the ovulus and weeps. We got weeps on it. It was very low activity that night, but we got weeps on the ovulus. And then she had the necrophone, necro thingamajigger on her iPhone going. And like a minute later, her said weeps.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's too coincidental. Like, what the fuck? So then
that was strange.
That was really the only thing that happened that night. One of the other girls in the group went to go pick up the Ovilus 5 in the beginning and then immediately went, hello, as she went to grab it. And she, like, totally freaked out. And that family left.
Yes. Yeah. They decided they were done.
Yep. They were done. So then we went over to the National Cemetery.
Yep. The very edge of the cemetery. Yeah.
The very edge where the battle, the one unplanned battle happened.
Yep.
And we went down there and we were just getting, we were getting stuff, but we were getting, nonsense, but we got a lot of stuff referring to water.
Yes.
We got like aqua and ravine and like a bunch of other weird stuff.
Yeah. I remember taking the ovulus from you and it said cupcake, which made me laugh really hard.
No, then, you got poked.
Yes. Yeah. So that happened. We were all like facing the battlefield, right? And like my back was to some woods and I had my hair up in a bun. And right over the top of my bun, it felt like somebody poked me just very gently, not like a hard poke, but just like it either felt like if anybody's ever had like a spider or something like hit the back of their head, that's what it felt like. But there was no spider because I checked.
But it was hard enough that you actually were like, what the fuck? And then you moved.
Yeah, because I thought you touched me and I was like, that was a dick move. But
no,
you didn't
I wasn't
like
even standing. Nope, I wasn't even really standing that close to you.
Yep. Yeah, it didn't. It kind of freaked me out, but it didn't super freak me out until later when I thought about it.
Yeah,
that was a time. So, I think I've been ghost poked.
You got ghost poked, and I got ghost spooked, and I ran like a bitch.
That's okay. You did,
but no, I didn't. So yeah, okay. So that was a Gettysburg experience. 10 out of 10. Would maybe do it again.
I would probably love to do it again. Yes, please. What's the worst that can happen? It's going to poke me again? Let's go.
That follows us the fuck home. That's what I was so mostly terrified about. But no, it's been like 2 weeks since two, three weeks now since we've been there. So
yeah,
it's been nothing followed us home. So
yeah, it's been fine. Yeah. I did think it was really interesting. The tour guide at the very end of every place that we were at, she would say, hey, thanks for talking to us. Stay here. You're not welcome to follow us. You can't come with.
Yep. She was like, thanks. But if you didn't come with us, you are not allowed to leave with us. Yep. You stay put. Thank
Every
God
time.
She did that. Oh my God, I was freaking out. But that was really cool and neat and
wild. Cool.
Just the physical experience of like having like you're like you just feel like something's around you and then all of a sudden like shit starts going off on your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! No, yep. I'm good.
Woo!
So yeah, okay.
That was a time. When we were at the National Cemetery, I remember this just now. Every time we would look up, it was like there's a dimly lit like skyline behind, right? And then there's like trees and you can see some of the gravestones.
Right.
I kept thinking I was seeing something like pop up and down on the horizon and it was awful.
Actually, I remember that because I was seeing that. I was like, that's just my eyes playing a trick on me. And then later it's always like, do you see something on the horizon? I was like, bitch, bitch, yes, I do.
Yeah. So that was fun.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Hated it.
It was great.
That was good.
I had a good time.
But let's we've been talking about this for 20 minutes. Yeah. So let's get on the you know it also is a great time.
Yeah.
Spooky stories.
Beautiful. All right, flip that coin.
What do we do? Okay, yeah, flip coin.
Yeah.
I can never, I don't remember.
Or do we have a mid-roll thing?
What?
Do we have a mid-roll thing, or is that time for that yet? It's not time for that yet.
No, this is opening roll.
No.
We're not there yet. We'll get there. Hang on. Whoa, just let's
well, slow your roll. Slow your roll. Get it.
What do you want? What do you want?
Heads. Oh. Glad you didn't hit yourself in the face with that.
Heads, you go first.
Okay.
Okay, so in our opening roll, right, in our pre-roll, if you will, if you like what we do and you would like to keep sponsoring us and keep on this whatever the fuck show this is, you can check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/haunthard. I barely know her. We have two tiers. We have the investigator tier, which is the $5 tier. You get a shout out and you get to become close friends on Instagram with us.
Yes.
And then there's a $7 tier where you get access to additional video content and a sticker and everything else that's on the investigator tier.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you want to check us out on there, totally hit us up.
Do it.
It makes our day. We usually cry every time we get a Patreon follower.
Yeah, each of us will like send screamy texts at each other at the same time. It's great.
We all caps.
Yeah,
all caps.
All of them.
All caps. Okay. So, anyways, Zoe Kenalton.
Yeah.
Tell me what your story is today.
So my story is The House on the Hill,
and I don't know what this is.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. I'm sure. Here in a minute.
Okay.
So we're gonna start with history, as we always do, because I think the history of this building's pretty cool. So this house was designed by Irish-born architect James Hoban in the neoclassic style. He modeled the building on Leinster House in Dublin, a building which today houses the Irish legislature. It's kind of cool.
Okay, okay.
So construction took place between 1792 all the way up to 1800 using Aquia Creek sandstone that was painted white.
White?
White, okay. Yes. When Thomas Jefferson moved into the house in 1801, he hired an architect, Benjamin Latrobe, to add low colonnades to each wing that, like, concealed stables and storage and other stuff. In 1814, during the War of 1812, the mansion was set ablaze by the British Army in the burning of Washington, which destroyed the interior and charred a lot of the exterior.
Fancy. All right, all right.
What? Hmm.
Okay.
Reconstruction began almost immediately. And yes.
Where are we?
Washington.
State?
D.C.
Oh. Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about the address of the place? Do you want the address?
Are we talking about the Capitol building?
No. Not the Capitol building.
I'm sorry. The White House.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this the White House? Yes. Okay. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. 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 Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to tell you it was 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but then I was like, you'll know exactly what it is, so I wanted to
No, actually, I don't fucking know the address of the White House. What the fuck? I'm not a nerd like you, Jesus.
Wow, I feel attacked. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, you should.
It's fine. All right, so reconstruction began almost immediately after its destruction, and James Monroe moved into the partially reconstructed executive residence in October of 1817.
Cool.
So exterior construction continued with the addition of a semicircular southern portico in 1824, and then the northern portico was added in 1829. Due to crowding within the executive mansion itself, Theodore Roosevelt had all work offices relocated to the newly constructed West Wing in 1901. Then 8 years later, in 1909, William Howard Taft expanded the West Wing and created the first Oval Office, which was later moved to the West Wing as it was expanded. There's a lot of construction on this bad boy. Whole lot.
Tell me.
So the East Wing alterations were completed in 1946, creating additional office space. And then in 1948, the residence load bearing and exterior walls and internal wood beams were found to be close to failure. So under Harry Truman, the interior rooms were completely dismantled and new internal load-bearing steel frames were constructed. He also added the Truman balcony to the exterior, which when you look at the front of it, you know, there's like the bottom floor and then like on the circly outy part, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the second level of that where, you know, just a level up is the Truman balcony.
Oh, I didn't know that was a balcony.
Yeah. Fancy.
Fancy.
So the modern-day White House complex includes the Executive Residence, the West Wing, the East Wing, the Eisenhower Executive Office Building, which is actually the former State Department, which now houses offices for the President's staff and the Vice President, and the Blair House, which is a guest residence.
Hmm. Okay, okay. So, which I don't feel like guests can stay in the White House at this point.
Yeah, no, that's why they have a separate residence.
Right? Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, fancy.
A guest of the White House, a guest of the United States, stays at the
White House,
fuck?
Right? Yeah.
Which is sad because right now, like, you can't. I went to D.C. Mm-hmm. like, what, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, very recent. Yeah.
You can't get anywhere close to the building right now. No. Like, you used to be able to get, like, super close, but they, like, blocked off, like, so much that you can't even get near it, which is so sad.
Did you hear about the guy, I don't know if you've heard about this, about the guy that broke into the White House during the Obama presidency? Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay. So he broke into the White House, made it inside, and then was like running through the hallways trying to find Obama. And
wait, was he trying to kill him?
Yeah.
Oh fuck! Yeah, no, never mind. Never mind.
Really bad.
No. That's not what I meant. I thought he was just like streaking through like the ball field, not like actually trying to get him. Nope. Shit.
Yeah, he was trying to get him. So he ended up like crossing. Like he was parked in his car. He had intentionally like left. He wasn't from D.C. or Virginia. He was from like West, I think. It's been a couple of years since I heard the story, so nobody quote me on this. But he made it like across the lawn into the front door, and the person that was protecting the front door was like a 4'5" woman. So he just knocked her over, entered into the building, and started running through the hallways trying to find him.
Oops.
Yeah, he got caught. He didn't die.
I mean, yeah.
Surprisingly, but he got caught.
Yeah. That's one of those things, like, you just broke into the president's place.
Yeah, why would you do that? That's not real smart.
Lose a kneecap, you know, you're asking for it. Like,
all your kneecaps.
If you lost your kneecaps, I'd be like, well, you fucking, what do you expect?
What
the leader
did you think
of the
would
United
happen?
States, like, yeah, what? How did you think that was gonna go? Anyways, okay, proceeding right along.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so the executive floor itself is made up of 6 stories. I didn't realize it was that big.
What?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was only 2...
No.
What?
No.
Is there a basement? Like, I don't understand how it's 6 floors.
There is. So there's a ground floor, right? There's a state floor, which is above that. There is a second floor and a third floor. And then there's a 2-story basement.
Okay, so there is a basement. So it's technically four stories and 2 levels of basements. Okay.
Yeah. That's wild. 2-story basement.
That's impressive, but also the 4 stories. I do have 3 at most. 3 at most is what I would have thought. Yeah. I guess that building is bigger than what we perceive it to be.
I assume so, yeah. It's wildly large.
Cool.
So now we're getting into the whole reason that we started this podcast. Why is it haunted?
Well, that was not the... That is not why we started this hot...
Yeah, it is. Why is the place haunted? How is it haunted? Tell me.
Actually, I don't know why. Tell me why the White House is fucking haunted, please.
Okay. Well, it's not really so much why, it's just who haunts it, but I wanted to try and mislead you a little.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. So, it's going to be like a series, like a list of just spooky things that happen and spooky beings, because there's like 11 or 12 entities, I want to say.
What the... That bitch is haunted. Oh my god. I thought you were like, like Abraham Lincoln, but not like, what the fuck?
I mean, he's
fuck?
One.
I know he's one.
He's one of like 12. Okay. So the first
Welcome to the fucking Thunderdome. That is the White House. Okay.
Done. Welcome to the White House, my dudes. All right. So the first one is actually an unknown spirit. So there's only, I think, one unknown spirit that's like not named. Two. I lied. There's two. So this one was seen in 1911 by President Taft's military aide, Major Archibald Butt, B-U-T-T,
What the fuck?
Archibald is his first name, bless his soul.
Archibald Butt!
Woo. He wrote to his sister Clara. Clara Butt. Yes.
His mother. His mother looked that child when he was a child in the eyes and was like, "I'm gonna name you Archibald Butt."
Archibald. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Yep. Okay, go ahead.
It's better than Seymour.
Seymour Butts.
So this poor fellow, he wrote a letter to his sister. Wow. He wrote a letter to his sister, Clara, that says, quote, The ghost, it seems, is a young boy about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of his presence of the thing, they called him the thing. Isn't that a little rude?
That's fucking rude. That's rude. Archie with your bald butt, you gotta be a little bit better than that.
A little bit nicer. So, okay. The presence of the thing is a slight pressure on the shoulder as if someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what you might be doing.
That's cute.
It's a little sketchy. Like, something leaning on your shoulder. Like, wouldn't you freak out? I'd freak out. So, President... Yeah. President Taft ordered Butt to tell the White House staff that the first member to repeat stories about the thing would be fired. So, Taft wasn't having any of that ghost story shit.
Okay, Damn. Tell me where you fucking stand with that shit.
No joke. This one's a little sad, so I'm sorry, everybody. So, in the 1860s, Mary Todd Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's wife, was grieving over the loss of her son, Willie, who passed away from a fever at the age of 12 in the White House. So she started holding seances in the Red Room of the White House and the Presidential Cottage, trying to connect to her lost son. Abe only participated in two of the multiple seances she would have. So he only ever came to two, so I don't really think he was super into it. Here we are. But spiritualism had grown really popular after the end of the Civil War, so it's not too much of a surprise that she was, you know, seancing it up. So Willie Lincoln himself was often seen by members of the Grant administration in the 1870s. And actually, Lyndon Johnson Robb, daughter of President Lyndon Johnson, met little Willie Lincoln in her bedroom, which was actually the bedroom he died in. So she thought he would, like, her parents thought that that was her imaginary friend. It was not her imaginary friend. It was Willie Lincoln. Oops.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Oops. Yep. Here we are. The next spirit people see is Andrew Jackson, president from Tennessee.
My guy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he'll actually be seen laying on his bed in the Queen's bedroom, which is also called the Rose Room. He'll let out this, like, guttural laugh that pretty much anybody who's lived or stayed or visited the White House immediately recognizes coming from that room. They're like, that's Jackson.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Like, people have noted it since the 1860s. So, like, it's been a minute.
It still goes on.
Yes.
Bitch, move on. Go. Like, away. Fucking... Go where you need to go, man. Yeah. It ain't here. I'm so sorry. What the fuck? I didn't think he would laugh. I didn't think that he would be a laugher.
I what the fuck? Ironically laughing, I could see.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, actually laughing? So, okay, wild. All right, moving right along.
Yeah. So, Mary Todd Lincoln actually claimed to have heard Jackson stomping around and swearing. So, she would hear his, like, angry little feet and him cussing up a storm.
Now that sounds about right. Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting on track.
That's pretty fun. In 1945, Harry Truman wrote a letter to his wife, Bess, that said, quote, I sit here in this old house and work on foreign affairs, read reports, and work on speeches, all while listening to the ghosts walk up and down the hall, and even right here in the study. The doors pop, the drapes move back and forth. I can just imagine old Andy Jackson and Teddy Roosevelt having an argument over Franklin. Roosevelt. So. All right.
That would be funny if, like, the presidents were arguing in the afterlife, like,
yeah.
No, it should have been done like this. Like, no, you're stupid. Psh,
go you don't, what's wrong with you? What about this thing?
Thunderdome. Okay.
That's not been a thing since you were alive.
Nah.
I've actually got some really, really fun stories for you in a little bit. I'm excited to get to. So the next spirit that we're going to talk about is good old Thomas Jefferson. He is seen and heard playing the violin in the yellow Oval Office. So you just hear this nice violin music and walk in and there he is just going to town on his violin.
That's so nice.
Yeah, see, that's kind of nice. I can get behind that. So Dolly Madison is around to protect her rose garden. It was something that was really important to her in life. So anybody tries to mess with the rose garden or talks about messing with the rose garden, and she will fight you. That's fun.
Is there any stories about what she's done? Like,
I haven't had any, I didn't find any. I saw, well, I heard one story about her tripping somebody, like, on their way to the Rose Garden, because they were talking about pulling roses up, and they tripped on the way.
On nothing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Great.
I didn't see more than that in more than one spot, so I didn't put that in my notes, but
okay.
I like to think that she feistily defends her roses.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Ooh. So, the next ghost is John Tyler. He haunts the Blue Room and can be seen and heard proposing to Julia Gardner, his second wife.
Oh, wow. So
she must have really meant something to him.
Yeah, for that to have left an imprint in the area.
Yeah, so that was fun. William Henry Harrison is the next. He was the first president to die in the White House, and he haunts the attic. He loves to hang out up there.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do ghosts always go to the attic when they were never fucking there to begin with?
He liked the attic. That's the only explanation I have. It was tall. I don't know. Maybe he was short.
Thank you for this wonderful explanation. It has fulfilled my life in every which way.
You're welcome. I thought it might have.
Okay, so he's in the attic. Yes. What is in the attic of the White House? I wonder, actually. I'd probably say decorations for like the seasons, and like definitely the shit for the tree that they do during Christmas.
That's true. They do a lot of Christmas thing.
I've actually missed the whole Christmas tree in the White House.
Yeah.
But we'll have that. Yeah, we're going to have that back. Yay.
Ooh. Okay. The next spirit is Abigail Adams, which is the wife of John Adams. So she used to hang laundry in the east room when she was alive because it was the warmest room in the house just because the direction it faced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's now seen wandering that direction in a cap, like a hair cap and then like a lace shawl with her arms outstretched forward, almost like she's carrying laundry. People don't see her carrying laundry, just with her arms out. Whenever staff will enter the west room, sometimes they'll smell lavender, which was the scent of her perfume, and they'll smell wet laundry. So that's gross.
That's so creepy, but so cool.
Yeah. I don't like that one. Just something about the laundry gets me.
Spooky laundry. Yeah, I never thought that wet laundry would be something to be afraid of.
Yeah, here we are. Gross.
Okay.
The next one is our second unknown ghost. It is the spirit of a British soldier who died during the War of 1812. He roams the grounds of the White House carrying a torch. Like, so you'll see him in the middle of the night just walking around. Secret Service have to go check him out, and they get there, and there's nobody there.
That, what?
Yeah, that's pretty gross, right?
That's a 200-year-old ghost.
Yes. Yeah.
How fucking disgusting is that?
Gross. Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm sorry, I blinked. Could you do that again?
Gross. That one?
Yes, thank you. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. The whole eye movement that you did too was great. So like Secret Service gets called to go.
Yeah.
Did British soldiers in 1812 like get that close to the White House?
Oh, they burned it down. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're welcome.
Cool. That was a dumbass question. All right, moving right along. I thought, didn't that White House burn down, like, by accident once, or was it all in wars? Twice. It burned down twice.
I think the first time was accidental, and the second time was intentional with the War of 1812, I want to say.
In the War of 1812. Okay, okay. Yeah. I knew one was accidental, and the other one was intentional. Okay, so that makes sense. Okay, cool.
I want to say that that's right, but here we are.
You're supposed to know this.
It is what it is. I know. I can't remember all the things. It's fine.
Okay.
It's all fine. So our next spirit is David Burns. He actually owned the land that the White House and most of Washington now sits. So he's the one that sold it to the U.S. government and was like, here you go, you can build your capital here. So a seamstress who worked in the White House like 30 years named Lillian Rogers Parks. So she wrote a novel about her experiences. Autobiography, is that right? When you write it yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Autobiography. Okay, cool. Yeah. So she wrote an autobiography about her experiences, and she told the story of a valet to President Franklin D. Roosevelt who heard a disembodied voice in the yellow oval room saying, I'm Mr. Burns. So he thought during that, like, he heard that. And then during the Harry S. Truman administration, there was a guard that heard a similar voice say the same thing. And he assumed, oh, it was just Secretary of State James Burns that said that, because they had the guy named James Burns. So he went to go find Burns, and he couldn't because Secretary Burns hadn't even showed up to the White House that day. So, gross.
Who is Burns?
Yeah. David Burns. The guy that owned the property that sold it to the U.S. government to build the building.
Okay. I almost brain glitched and you're I fine. Missed that part. Okay. Yeah, okay, okay. 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 I'm Burns.
I'm Burns.
My name is Burns.
I'm okay. Mr. Burns.
I'm Mr. Burns. Thanks and here's the property. Thanks, bro, yeah, I guess.
Exactly. So this next one's really fun. So loud banging and rattling on all of the doors on the interior of the White House can be heard. Like all throughout the White House, any time of day.
What?
Uh-huh. It's like somebody's banging on the door and like trying to open it, right?
And then you open the door and no one's there.
Correct. Yeah. So this is the spirit of Anna Surratt. She was pleading with President Andrew Johnson after Lincoln's assassination for her mother's life, because her mother, Mary Surratt, was a conspirator in Lincoln's assassination. So Anna was showing up to, like, beg for her mom's life, like, please spare her, I don't want her to get hung. Too bad. So sad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So on July 7th, the anniversary of her mother's execution, Anna's ghost can actually be seen pacing back and forth on the front steps, supposedly awaiting for the arrival of President Johnson in her, like, last-ditch effort to save her mom. Anna's weeping can also be heard in the entrance hall. That's gross.
That's really fucking sad, mm-hmm. but wild. Yeah.
It's kind of messed up, right?
Yeah.
Wild
that's
times.
Also crazy that, like, a civilian who was in the White House talking to the president,
yep.
just, like, nonchalantly. Like, I mean, chalantly, but, like... Just yeah. on the front steps. What? That's wild. We, mm-hmm. we couldn't do that today. Hell no.
God, no. Absolutely not. You get murdered. Woo. So the next one is just like a personal experience. So Jenna Bush, George W. Bush's daughter, awoke one night to 1920s piano music. Like, she just woke up and she heard 1920s piano music, right? So she describes, quote, I was asleep. There was a fireplace in my room, and all of a sudden, I heard 1920s music coming out of the fireplace.
Out of the fireplace?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That doesn't make any fucking sense!
I don't know. So she said, I could feel it. I freaked out and ran into my sister's room. So her sister, Barbara, was like, that's bullshit, you're making this up, whatever. Quit being a baby. So Jenna was like, no. Sleep in the room with me. See what happens. So, Barbara stayed in the room overnight the next night, and both of them were woken up in the middle of the night by ear-splitting opera music blaring out of the fireplace.
That makes no... Why out of the fireplace?
No idea.
Why?
No answer.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, the fireplace goes outside. Like, yeah. That doesn't make... Was there a concert? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Nope. Absolutely not. The next morning, they checked with the... with the staff, because they were like, what? That's fucked up. I don't know what's happening. So they talked to the White House staff, and they were like, oh, yeah, we hear music out of that thing all the time. And no one thought to mention that? What?
Yeah, that would have been nice to fucking tell the person who's staying in the fucking room.
Right? Hey, if you hear some, like, weird music, just go back to sleep. It's fine.
I could never.
Lord, no.
I could never stay in that bitch. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, that bitch is haunted.
Yes, 100%. We are finally to my favorite, which is Abraham Lincoln.
Okay,
so cool. he is the last spirit that I will mention. So he is the most seen and well known and well documented spirit that haunts the White House, hands down.
Word.
So also in this description, when I mentioned the Lincoln bedroom. It actually wasn't a bedroom when he was alive. It was his cabinet room. They just converted it into a bedroom after he died. But actually, in that cabinet room is where he signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So it's a very important room. Yes.
What's a cabinet room? Like the place where he worked? Like his office?
That and where he would meet with his advisors.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yes. So also, just quick mention. In that bedroom, there is actually a bed now. And people will sometimes walk into that room and see Lincoln's 6'4" ass laying on that bed. Just like stretched out. Just chilling.
Which is crazy because that bed was never there when he was alive.
Correct. Gross.
I would simply pass away.
It's going to get worse.
What?
It's going to get worse. I've got another page of just Lincoln.
Of just that motherfucker?
Yeah, just him. That's it.
Jesus. Yeah. Which, yep. I think what's also awful is he was actually 6'4", correct?
Yes. Yeah. Tall. He's a very tall man.
And then he wore that fucking top hat.
Yep. And his waistcoat. Yep.
Oh, what a lanky motherfucker. That's got to be creepy.
For sure.
If I was walking in the night and then all of a sudden a 6'4" fucking shadow motherfucker was coming at me, I would simply just cease to exist.
Yeah, I'd
just
have a heart attack. 100%.
What the fuck? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go chronologically from his death through like all of the sightings up until present day. So,
okay.
Very first one is going to be Grace Coolidge, she was the wife of President Calvin Coolidge. She was the very first person to actually say that she has seen Lincoln's spirit. So very first time. She walked into the Yellow Oval Room looked in and saw him standing next to the window, looking out the window across the Potomac to the, like, former Civil War battlegrounds. So, like, the place that he was looking at when he was alive, he was just chilling as he was dead looking.
Which you can't see the Potomac anymore from the White House. Correct. Because of all the buildings.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
Gross. Cool. The next one was one of Franklin Roosevelt's clerks entered into the Lincoln bedroom looking for something and got a big surprise. He walked in to see President Lincoln standing in the room, and he turned around and looked at the clerk and said his name. So Abe's not just chilling. He's there with a purpose. He pays attention. He knows what's happening around him.
Disgusting.
Uh-huh.
What did that guy tell me? Because you said a big surprise, and I see what you did there.
He promptly screamed, turned around, and ran out of the White House. Like, not just the room. He left that motherfucker. He's like, I'm done. Bye.
Yikes. So,
big yikes.
You cannot continue to sit there and say ghosts don't exist when fucking officials of the White House are saying this shit is here and they're quitting and screaming and leaving.
Yeah, I got a good portion of this from the White House's website. So,
oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Woo. All right. The next one was during Franklin D. Roosevelt's presidency, same as above. His wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, used the Lincoln bedroom as her study, and she would sometimes feel his presence in there when she was working late at night. So she would have, like, okay, somebody's in the room with me. I feel a very tall person's in the room with me. So on and so forth, right? So one day, one of Eleanor's assistants entered into the room looking for her, looked over and saw Lincoln sitting down, pulling on his boots. So she makes a noise. He looks up at her from his shoes. She screams and runs out.
He's fucking there.
Yes.
He is there.
100%.
Oh, yeah. God. What the fuck?
Yes. So Lincoln, like, people will hear someone pacing through the halls outside of the Lincoln bedroom. So it's when he was alive, he would pace to think, right? So now, big ass long legs, right? Like, it's a pretty distinct, like, somebody with a 6'4" footfall, like, big strides,
yes.
Right? People still hear those long strides up and down the hallways. So that's gross and fun.
Yes, because there's got to be, like, a, like, stomp, stomp.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, it's not big quick pitter patter of somebody who's 5 foot.
Woo.
That bitch is long.
He big. Yeah. So, Margaret Truman, Harry Truman's daughter, kept hearing floors popping, doors knocking, and drapes sliding back and forth, like in rooms that she was in, right? So, her father described the White House as haunted, sure as shooting.
Sure as shooting.
That's so cute. Oh my God. So Margaret decided that she was going to get to the bottom of the sounds like any girl would, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
you know,
get it, girl.
For sure. Let's go. So she decided to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom one night.
Mistake number one.
So she gets woken up by someone standing in her room in a top hat. right? She freaks out. It turns out her father had gotten one of the butlers to dress up as Lincoln to play a prank on her.
What a fucking asshole. What a bag of fucking penises. Oh my god. What a douchebag. What a jackass. That's not even funny.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty mean.
Oh my god.
Woo. Okay. Whew. So she never did end up figuring out what was causing all the noise. So
yeah, that's a fucking abort that shit right then and there. What a prick. That's what a Richard.
Woo. All right. The next one is my literal favorite story. Like, this is my favorite. And if you don't figure out why, I'm disappointed in everyone, all of you. So, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, British Prime Minister.
I mean, I would hope you don't have to. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
We all know who Winston Churchill. Oh, it's fine.
I don't know. I'm not making an assumption.
I'm sorry. Okay, you do. Go ahead.
Thanks. So he would visit the White House often during World War II, right? Like, makes sense. Smack the shit out of my mic. I'm so excited. Okay. So he had a little evening ritual that he would do, right? So he would have a hot bath, a glass of scotch, and a fine cigar.
Okay. What a fucking ritual. Okay.
Every day that he had like something hard to do, it's like, oh, I need to relax. I need my bath and my scotch and my cigar.
I mean, self-care.
Yeah,
I mean, you do,
right?
What you gotta do.
Take care of yourself, man. So as he got out of his bath naked, right, as you do when you're in a bath, he just had completely naked except for his cigar. He walks from his bathroom into the adjoining bedroom to see Abraham Lincoln leaning on the mantle of the fireplace in his room. He is stark naked. Churchill, being quick on the uptake, simply takes his cigar out of his mouth, taps the ash off the end, and says, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage."
Oh my god!
That's my favorite line ever. Woo. Huh? So, Lincoln just smiles and disappears.
Fabulous. Wonderful. What a fucking comeback. Oh my god.
Oh, that one gets me every single time I think about it. Oh, okay. Now, our next incident. So during her visit to the White House, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, try and say that five times fast, heard a knock at her bedroom door. So she gets up and she answers it. She opens it, and there's President Lincoln's ghost wearing his little top hat and his waistcoat. She passes out, hits the floor.
No way! No way!
She is terrified. There's a reason she only visited once. I checked. Yeah. Oh, just fainted. Just right down on the ground.
Holy fuck, bless like a heart. Fucking bag of hammers.
Yeah, just down and out. That's it. Down and out. Poor thing.
You can't. What? You fucking go to visit another country.
Yeah.
As an fucking official of your own country. And you're you're known. You're known for the rest of your life. Yeah. There's no coming back from that. You passed
God,
the fuck
no.
out because you saw a ghost. Oh my god.
Whew. So that's fun.
Nice.
Yeah. No, here's Churchill handling it like the best anyone ever could. And then
like a pro.
Here's Wilhelmina and she's just taking a nap. It's
ow.
Here we are.
It's a voluntold sleepy time.
just take a nap, dear. It'll be fine.
Holy shit, what the fuck?
I think the worst part is he woke her up just to make her take a nap. Like that's why. Why would you do that?
I'm sure he was trying to be like real formal, like real
polite.
Professional, like well, I mean, yeah, polite. And like, how fucking rude of her just to pass the fuck out on him, like, ooh. Bitch.
Hello, madam. I've come to welcome you to my humble home.
Ow,
down and
like
out.
Like a light.
Well, at least she'll get some rest. Oh gosh. All right. Our next incident is Lady Bird Johnson, President Lyndon Johnson's wife. She felt Lincoln's presence in the room with her one night while she was watching a television program about his death.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's traumatizing.
Sounds a little
sure
sad.
Like that.
I can imagine not. No. Our next one is Susan Ford, which was Gerald Ford's daughter. She ran into Lincoln alongside the fireplace in the Lincoln bedroom. Scared to return to the room, she never did again until she was dared. Thankfully, she didn't run into Abe again, only her mother reciting the Gettysburg Address from underneath the sheet. So her mom tried to scare her.
People in the White House are dicks.
They're such assholes, right?
What the fuck?
The next one. Maureen Reagan, on the other hand, bumped into Lincoln's spirit one morning in the Lincoln bedroom. Her father, President Ronald Reagan, said she wanted to, quote, or she walked into a figure standing at the window looking out. She could see the trees right through it. Again, it turned and then disappeared. So that's gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah, nice.
I don't like seeing through people.
Yeah. Blech. That's always nice and fun because you can trick yourself into thinking it's not a spirit if you can't see through it. Whoops. Okay. Reagan had a dog, a spaniel named Rex, and Rex would bark frantically at the bedroom door to the Lincoln bedroom, like refuse to go in the room and would just flip his shit at the door all the time. Anywhere else in the White House, he was happy. He would go, didn't bother him at all. The Lincoln bedroom? Oh, no. Not good. Not okay. Rex would also bark at the ceiling in the TV room, which was directly underneath the Lincoln bedroom.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
That one is... Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Woo. And this is my last point, but it makes me happy, so I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
So Sasha and Malia Obama used the White House ghost for some funds with some friends that were staying over, so they had like a sleepover, right? And
sleepover in the fucking White House. What a fucking time. Okay.
Woo, wowzers. So they had their friends over and they were telling them like about the presidents that used to live there, and then about the ghosts of the presidents who used to live there and still do. And then all of a sudden,
no,
like the girls are starting to get quiet, right? Like, because they're, ooh, spooky stories, wow. All of a sudden, they hear a voice of George Washington. He identifies himself as George Washington. He tells Malia how great a job her father was doing in the office and how proud of him she should be. Sasha, being the smart girl she is, followed the sounds of the voice quickly and quietly down to the kitchen, walks in, flips the light on, and finds President Barack Obama trying to scare the hell out of him.
Everybody in the fucking White House is an asshole.
No, that's my favorite one, because I could just imagine him, like, hiding behind the counter, being like, ooh, I'm President George Washington.
I'm Washington. Your dad's doing a great job.
He's such a good president. Be proud of him. Like, I could just imagine.
What a dick. Another dick. What a fucking Richard.
Ooh, good times. And that is the White House and how she is haunted.
She be haunted.
Yeah, big haunted.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah.
That's a lot more than you'd think it would be.
Yes. You told me, like, Abraham was there. I was like, there's no fucking way. Yeah. Like, there's no...
There's a hell of a lot of people that have seen him.
Woo! That's too many people. I went to the Lincoln Memorial, and I took a selfie with him.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, but that was really creepy, because, like, not creepy... There was a lot of people sitting and standing around and, like, just, like, conglomerating around and, like, not moving on, which was really weird. Like, there were people sitting on the steps and just not doing anything. And it's, like, you shouldn't be sitting there. So, anyways, we powered through it and I got a selfie. And then it's, like, all right, get the fuck out. We saw it because there's so many people.
All right, we can leave.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Do you want to hear a really funny, not so funny, funny on me story that I did because I'm a little slow sometimes?
Always.
Okay, so I went to D.C. with Kevin and one of his friends, right? Mm-hmm. And so Kevin tells me that he went to... Now, don't say anything, okay? Just let me tell the story.
Yeah.
Kevin says, I went to the National Mall when I was, like, 8 years old. We need to go again, okay? So I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what the National Mall is, okay? So with somebody not knowing what the National Mall is, right?
Yep.
I'd be like, we're going to a mall. Okay. Yeah. So we're walking around and anytime I see like a building, like a unique building, I'll point to it and be like, is that the mall? And like Kevin just starts like, is like, what the fuck? The friend's laughing, right? And then like we'll walk a little bit further. I'm like, is that the mall?
Yeah.
And then like, they think I'm being a prick, but I'm like, I'm sincere. Like, I have no idea what the fucking mall is. So, like, we're walking around.
Yeah.
And then we're going, we got to the Capitol building. And then we start walking down that stretch of grass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I like, that's, I'm like, man, that building's really cool. And we're going on and on about it. I'm like, is that the mall? And so, like, this joke keeps fucking going, right? I'm like, where is this mall? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so we go, we get to the, I call it the Richard Nixon monument. Is it the George Washington monument? The tall one.
The penis?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the Washington monument. Yeah.
Okay, it is. Yeah. So I always call it not that. So we get there and, you know, we're walking and I'm still looking around. I'm pointing at some buildings and the joke is dying, right? I'm like, is that the mall? But I'm like, they're not finding it funny anymore. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, where's the mall?
Yeah.
So we walk through the World War II monument thing. I can't remember which one it was.
Okay.
And then you get to the Lincoln Memorial. And then that was that. And then we moseyed on into the rest of D.C. and we went and saw the White House. So I was like, the whole time, I'm like, where the fuck is the mall? Like, I don't understand. Fast forward to, like, a couple Saturdays ago, I'm driving around with this girl that I'm seeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking, and she's like, yeah, like, I could show you, like, the Reagan. Like, I'm going to show you, like, all these places. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. So, like, we're up near D.C. And she's like, yeah. And, like, we can, like, the metro, you get off at the mall. And so I tell her, I was like, I don't understand. I was like, I was there in D.C. with my friend. I was like, where's the mall? And she goes, that's the mall.
Uh-huh.
And I went, no. Like, no one can point out where the mall is. And she's like, you walked along the grass, right? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, that's the mall. And I went, what? Huh? And she goes, yeah, honey. She goes, the mall is not a mall. The National Mall is that whole strip of grass with the fucking museums and the churches and all of that. And I went, what?
I'm disappointed.
I'm so fucking stupid. Are you kidding me? The whole entire time, I was sitting there going, where's the mall? She's like, no, it's not a shopping center. It's just the National Mall is that strip of grass with, like, everything around it. And I was like, why is it called that? Why is it called a mall? I don't understand. I was like, I'm so stupid. And she's like, no, you're okay. It's all right. And I'm like, no, I'm so stupid. They were making fun of me, and I didn't even know it. Did you know that was the mall?
Absolutely did not. I didn't.
You didn't know either?
Nope. Okay. That's why I was making that face. Like, why the fuck did they call it the mall? Why not the grass strips? The grassland.
So now that we all have educated ourselves, the National Mall is that strip of grass with the
National
buildings.
Landing Strip.
Yeah. Apparently the National Mall is in between the Capitol building and the Washington Monument.
I'm going to find out why it's called that and
Google it.
We're going to talk about it next time because I'm upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I borderline almost started crying in the car with this chick, and she's like, no, it's okay. I'm like, I'm so stupid. What the fuck?
Why?
I don't know.
I'm mad. I'm kind of mad.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason for it, because, like, you know, a mall has, like, multiple shops and stores, and, like, this strip of grass has multiple buildings and museums and place. I don't know.
Then it would make sense to be called the National Hub. That would make sense. The National Mall doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't have a ring to it. So anyways, yeah, I could take the metro from, like, shut up. I could take the metro here in, like, Virginia and then go all the way to downtown D.C., which is fucking cool.
I'm upset.
I'm excited. Okay, you Google that, and I'm going to do mid-roll, okay?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, cool. So this is mid-roll. This is the point of the podcast where we give shout-outs to our newest Patreon members, but however, we do not have Patreon members. No, we don't. Okay, I had to think. I was like, did we shout out? Did we shout out the last two? And we did.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So definitely be sure to check us out on our Patreon. We are putting up videos slowly but surely. We're a little behind, but we got stuff in the canon coming up. And if you can't support us on Patreon, that's totally cool. That's all right. If you could leave us a review on Apple iTunes podcast. One of those things. If you're on the computer, it's iTunes. If you're on your phone, it's Apple Podcasts. Be sure to leave a review and rate and review. And then if you're on Spotify, please be sure to smash that follow button. And anywhere else you listen to us, please be sure to do the thing.
Yeah, do the thing.
If you like what we do,
Rate and review.
Rate and review. And if you don't like what we do, we at least leave constructive feedback if you're going to.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm down for that.
Yeah. Fucking leave some feedback. I mean, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
And it, and also remember, it's rated E for explicit because we fucking swear.
Well, I was going to say it's rated M for many curse words.
I saw a TikTok that was like, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? No, Richard. I don't kiss my mother with my mouth. We're not all out here Frenching our mothers. Ew. You think cursing is wild? Wait until I tell you about incest.
Whoa. I went from zero to a million in five.
What? That? No, that fucking saying makes me so uncomfortable. Do you kiss, your mother with that mouth? No, I'm not out here tonguing my mother, you psycho. You.
Different kinds of kisses, which I get, but I also see how it's uncomfy.
Yeah, well, someone who's not from the South that doesn't kiss their mother, I think it's weird.
I kiss my mom on the cheek. What?
Ew.
Ew, you gross. Ew. You're gross. Don't, what are you telling me about this week? Are you going to spook me?
Oh, yeah, let me spook you, baby. All right. I'm not going to really spook you too much. I saw this on TikTok. I was like, oh, I'll cover it. And it wasn't that scary. It's kind of scary, but it's not that scary. So,
spook me.
I, Katie Groves,
yes,
am going to be talking about Hotel Villa. Fuck.
Yeah?
Nope, that's not what it's called. Hotel Villa Convento.
Ooh, much better.
Convento. Yeah. I always practice. I swear to God, we practice
before
we start work. We practice before we record, and then as soon as we get on the mic, it's like stage fright bullshit. Uh-huh.
It's like, how do say words? Don't know.
Convento. I think I'm saying that wrong. But anyways, it's located in the French quarters of New Orleans, and the history of this... Get out of my notes.
I'm just looking. Shut up.
She scared the shit out of me because like this green tab showed up. I was like, oh God. And the history of the land for the hotel doesn't start till 1805. That's kind of like when New Orleans was being established, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick up there. The hotel is a 3-story tall Creole townhouse that has a cozy yet quirky atmosphere.
Ooh.
And it is haunted. It is haunted. There's a lot of shit that went on.
Way to spoil the ending.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, God, like, I'm talking about it on a paranormal podcast. You're such a douche. Anyways, bitch.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Ah, fuck you. I know what you're up to. Drink your beer. Shut up.
I'm trying.
There's 25 guest bedrooms that has plenty of amazing views.
That's a lot of rooms.
25 bedrooms?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, yeah.
Sorry. There's just a lot of rooms.
Thank you. There is an interior courtyard, a garden from the Beauregard Keys house, the original Ursuline convent, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the New Orleans skyline is something that can be seen from several rooms in the hotel. So, like, it's a very popular happening hotel. It's
nice.
Yeah, like, it's very popular in New Orleans. Or Nolens, if you're, I butcher that. I'm so sorry.
I'm from Tennessee. I ain't trying it.
Nolens? New Orleans. I'm so sorry. I'm going to just stop that. I'm going to say New Orleans. All right.
You're doing great.
I have it's the pollen up here. It's a little congested. All right. So several paranormal investigators claim that this place is one of the most active places in New Orleans.
Ooh.
New Orleans. So it's haunted. There aren't very good, like, solid stories about the place, but it has consistent activity.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the history of the place. So the plot of land where the hotel is built once belonged to the Ursuline nuns. Now, just a quick backstory because history and it's fun. The Ursuline nuns were an enclosed religious order of consecrated women under the order of Ursuline of Saint Ursula. It was basically kind of like put together by the Pope under
So I have a question.
Was
Ursula the saint of? Because I know saints are, like, very specific things in Catholicism, but the only
place... Saint Ursula.
Yeah.
Which is Latin for little female bear, is a legendary Romano-British Christian saint, died in October 21st, 383.
Okay.
Her feast day, there's little defined information about her in the anonymous group of holy virgins who accompanied her and on some uncertain date were killed at, I'm not pronouncing that, they remained, let's see, attributes, quote, patron, archers, orphans, female students, Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly female students.
Okay.
The nuns were were assigned to teach women in their convent.
Oh, okay.
I say women, like
girls.
I don't want to say little girls, but like young women. There we go.
There you go. That's what I want to say. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Because the only place I'd ever heard Ursula from was The Little Mermaid, and I didn't think that was the right thing.
Yeah. No, definitely not. So
cool.
The company was formed in Milan, but when the groups reached France, then that's when they kind of formed and became clusters of nuns dedicated to educating young women in their monasteries.
Gotcha.
So this one guy during the like French colonial occupation of the Louisiana area, so I'm talking like back.
Yeah.
Sieur de Benville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The okay. governor of the current governor of the French occupied land, basically, had requested that France send over some nuns from the New Orleans area.
Okay.
The nuns he originally wanted were not available. However, the Ursuline nuns were sent by the French king with the king's backing, being like, no, they're good. They're good.
Oh.
They're great. So, yeah, second best apparently. So it was like
the second best nuns.
there was a whole spiel about why nuns were needed. They actually did like really really good work in the area, so it was actually nice to have them around. Blah blah blah. So they were given land. Mm. However, it was partitioned off in 1805, where the Villa Convento stands today.
Okay. That makes sense.
The lot was passed between many ownerships, and that weren't really accounted for. If like it just went from like this person, this person, this person, this person, and like there's no reason to just rattle them off. So I just kind of like found some highlights on who had it, blah, blah, blah. So until it came possession of Jean-Baptiste Poyer-Frere. Poyer-Frere built a townhouse in 1833, which still stands today on the property, and that is now the hotel. Hotel Villa Convento. 10 years later, when Jean passed, his widow wife sold off the property. So it moves on. So now this broski by the name of Octave Vorhees owned the property, and I made a typo in my notes that I don't know what it's supposed to say. Owned the house for a short while.
Okay.
The Civil War tore through the U.S., and the depression that shortly followed thereafter caused the Octave fellow to lose ownership of the house.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So after the Civil War, New Orleans lost that ting-ting, sparkle-sparkle, if you will, about the place. It was kind of like a happening place before the Civil War, and afterwards it kind of became a place of vice and sin.
Sadness times.
Right, yeah. Oof. So during this time is when historians, people doing research, speculate that this townhouse became a full-blown brothel. Okay,
scandalous.
But there isn't too much evidence of that, but it was definitely,
to be fair, if I was running a brothel or a bordello, I definitely wouldn't want, like, printed records, because that shit's illegal.
Correct. So, but also the ghosts in the house, in the hotel today, definitely kind of was like, probably.
Yeah.
So trigger warning, you know, brothels, as we can all, you know, probably imagine, brothels were not fun and safe for the women, or really, honestly, anybody. Women were beaten and the likes, all that stuff. And men were killed for their belongings. And, of course, syphilis ran wild.
Ooh. Ooh, no.
So, again, the property sold twice in a 20-year time span. I couldn't really find any stories about the brothel stuff-ish, kind of. I heard kind of like some rumory stuff, but we'll get there in a little bit. In 1902, the lot was sold to Pascal Terramina, where the family resided until 1946. And in 1946, the building and lot became under new ownership, but the building was then called Old Town Villa.
Mm-hmm.
The villa was a rotating home for those who didn't have anywhere else to stay in New Orleans.
Okay.
Fun fact, Jimmy Buffett stayed in this hotel.
Whoa, cool.
Yep. In Jimmy room Buffet. 305. In room 305, and it is unofficially known as the Jimmy Buffett room. So if you go to this hotel villa, they, and you ask for 305, or for the Jimmy Buffett room, they're going to stick you 305. Yes.
Do they offer a Jimmy buffet?
All right. Anyways, moving right along. Another fun fact. I need a new co-host. Shut the fuck up. So, it is rumored that the song The House of the Rising Sun by The Animals is referring to this hotel.
Oh, wow.
Do you know that song?
Yes.
I don't.
Oh, we're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I Googled it, okay. And like, I listened to it. I was like, I've never heard of this song.
Yeah.
Up until this moment. So, I don't know. I don't do old songs. So, anyways. So, yeah. So, maybe because, you know, it was never stated, like, which house was the House of the Rising Sun. So, yeah. I speculated that this could have been the house.
Okay.
The current owners of the hotel is the Campo family, and they purchased the land in 1981. They're the ones that currently own and operate the building as the hotel that you see today. Mm-hmm. The family actually moved to New Orleans area, to the area, as early as the Ursuline nuns did.
Yowzers.
And they came from the Canary Islands, because apparently there was like this whole like immigration thing into the area from a bunch of different places in the Mediterranean.
Spicy.
So yeah. So the modern day Campos own the hotel, and they are three generations deep in that bitch. So they own it. So
interesting.
Working for the hotel is described like working for a family in their home, and it doesn't have that commercial hotel feel. Like, it definitely is like you're just staying in someone else's home, and it's cozy, and it's nice, and it's haunted.
Oh, okay.
Cool enough. I thought this was a cool fun fact. Some employees actually had frequently visited the hotel before actually moving there to take up work to start working there.
I don't like that.
Why not?
That doesn't settle very comfortably with me. It makes me feel like the haunted ass nature of the place is like pulling people in. Like, you visit once and then it's all right, I've got my hooks in, you keep coming.
One of the women works there doesn't acknowledge anything that's going on in the place and isn't bothered by any of it.
Oh.
So like, maybe, but you and I get spooked about different things. I don't know.
Fair. That is true.
Yeah. Okay. So this bitch is pretty haunted. It's constant activity in the house. So the best ghost in the house, if you will, is of the madame.
Oh.
Yes. The madame, there was like the weird, I never found this story anywhere else. So this guy might have made it up. Apparently the madame endorsed the women of the house killing men.
Oh, cool.
If they acted up. So, but I didn't find that story anywhere. So I was like,
maybe not, because there goes your customers.
Correct. Yeah. So I don't know where that came from. The energy from the brothel definitely left an imprint on the house, especially from one of the madames during this time, or the madame. Mm. When people spend the night at the hotel, they sometimes hear knocking on the door, which at the time of the brothel meant that the madame would come to knock and indicate the time was up, if you will.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yes. So when you hear a knocking at the door, it's like, ha ha, your time's up.
Sorry, buddy. Ha-ha. My girl's got to go.
Yeah. So men who visit the brothel are the ones who experience the madame more than anybody else. So when couples come to stay and wind up doing the upside down monster mash,
oh my
if
God.
You will. Some men will kind of just look up, whatever, and see a woman dressed in all black staring at him.
Oh, that's really interesting. So, like, while they're doing it, she's, like, looking at him?
Yes, yes.
Gross. No, thank you.
Yes. No women ever see this apparition. Only the guy does.
That's disgusting. I hate that.
Yep. It's really fucking creepy.
I'm very glad I'm not a man.
So, supposedly, any men that have ill will intentions towards women or just, you know, less regards for women are more targeted by the madame.
Okay, that's fair.
Rumor has it she was very protective over her girls, and so when a man would mistreat them, she would do something.
Yeah, fuck them up.
So, apparently, this still holds true to this day when a toxic man visits the hotel.
Good.
She doesn't like it. She don't like him, and it becomes very obvious. So, different rooms of the hotel are haunted.
Okay.
Right? A couple pretty good stories. So a man using room 301 was using the restroom in the middle of the night. He said that he heard clear as day a woman whisper, "Hey, baby."
Oh.
Of course, he freaks the fuck out and jumps back in bed with his wife. Prior to that day, he kind of like put two and two together. He heard the same voice call out his name while he was on the front steps of the hotel.
No.
And
no.
Yeah, while
I don't
while
like
they
it.
Were checking in.
No. Nope.
So he asks one of the hotel staff, like, was someone, like, calling for him? Like, you know, because obviously he's visiting, so, like, no one would know that he's there. So he asked the hotel staff if somebody was, like, trying to get a hold of him, and they were all like, no.
No.
No, not good. Some speculate this was the madame, but it could have also been one of the sex workers in the brothel, so.
Yeah, I mean, that would be my assumption because, you know, money.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right. So in room 302, a frequent flyer of the hotel, a woman who would come and stay all the time, anytime she came to New Orleans, she would stay in this hotel and would also say in 302, said that she saw an apparition appear right in front of her.
Ew.
Like, she saw it appear and then disappear. Freaked her out so badly, she refuses to stay in that room any longer.
Wow.
Yep, won't go in that room anymore.
Gross.
In Jimmy Buffett's room, 305, is a pretty consistent room for hotel activity. Items brought by the guests are always moved about the room, and unexplained noises are also common in the room.
We're going.
However, I know I mentioned one of the employees that doesn't really experience anything in the house. She went up to the room to check up on a blow dryer in the bathroom.
Okay.
Just kind of like a thing on the list of like it might have broke, so she was going to check it out.
Yeah.
Just upkeep, right? When she gets into the room, and like I said, she's never bothered by anything else in this hotel ever. She opens the door, walks in, and she says that she gets an overwhelming sensation that somebody is watching her when she enters the room so badly. It overwhelms her so badly. She goes running back downstairs.
Nope.
Just absolutely not.
Okay, we're going to go stay in the Jimmy Buffet room.
You're a Jimmy Buffet.
Thanks.
So in room 209, this is also another really haunted room in the hotel. So trigger warning.
Oof.
So if you if you want to skip forward about 10 seconds, a man committed suicide in the bathtub and in that room, and there was no information as to who, what, when, where, how, why. Absolutely nothing about it other than it did take place.
It's really sad.
Yeah, so there are consistent reports of the guests that stay in the room that there are disembodied voices, and their shit is also moved around in that room.
That's rude.
One particular instance is of a man who was staying in the room, and he saw a white flag tied to the iron balcony railing.
Why?
I don't know. So, like I said, objects are moved about in the room, and he was the only one in the room, and all of a sudden there was a flag tied to the balcony.
What, did the spirit surrender? I don't understand.
I don't get it either. So he, like, reported it, made a note of it, something, and then when he came back, that flag was gone.
What?
Yeah. So I don't know if, like, one of the ghosts tied off something on the railings or what that was for, if that was signifying something in the brothel times. I have no idea. That flag was never there, or it got moved.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, like, while he was in the room, so, like.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, so sketchy. One really weird thing that happens in the house is that children are heard laughing.
No, absolutely not. That is a good way to make me leave.
So it's really weird because in the history of the house, there shouldn't have been, or I say house, hotel, the Creole house. For the most part, children weren't allowed because it was operating places. So why there are laughing, unless one of the families had children.
I was about to say that, or maybe one of the employees had a child. Because I mean, who are they going to get to watch them? Like,
right.
their work.
Like, yeah, true. That's a good point.
The house mother could watch the madam. But
the madam. Yeah, I don't know. So, children laughing.
Gross.
I know that's your favorite. Yeah. Interesting. So, here's the last story. This one's actually pretty damn good.
Give me. Spook me.
One night, a couple was staying in the hotel. They had, you know, a room, and they were doing their thing out in town, like, checking everything out. So, when they got back, they were just hopping into bed and passing the fuck out, like, they retired, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
From the next room over, so, like, the wall, right through the wall.
Yeah.
They start to hear giggling and some more sounds of the bumping uglies, if you will. So, at first, they just were like, oh, it's newlyweds. Like, they're having a good time. But apparently, this went on for the whole night.
Oh my gosh.
It did not stop. So they were super fucking annoyed about it. And they were just like, oh my God, Jesus, stop, please. So the next morning, They go downstairs, and you know how you're just, like, annoyed, but you kind of want to know, like, who the fuck, right. who the fuck. So they just kind of, you know, dropped, like, oh, at the front desk, did you, you know, put some newlyweds next to us in this blah, blah, blah room? The receptionist got super fucking confused and was like, not only is there nobody in the room next to you, that room is under construction.
Oh.
The couple did not believe the receptionist. They were like, no, that's no, bullshit, we heard... Yeah. Yeah, we heard it going on in that room next to us.
We heard the sexy sounds, ma'am. What's happening? Yeah.
So the receptionist takes the couple up to the room and shows them that not only is this room not ready for guests, there are power tools and a fine layer of dust all over the place.
Oh.
Paranormal hanky-panky, if you will.
Oh, okay. Well... I'm trying to think of a paranormal euphemism, and I'm struggling. That's, wow. That's, wow. Wow.
That's just got all, for wow. hours. For hours the whole that night. Went on. The whole fucking night, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah, start banging on the wall, call reception. Hey, help. That's nuts. Yeah. Oh, I don't like that.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a little weird. I mean, I guess they could have been, like, way worse. It could have been, like, death screams instead of sexy screams.
Ew. Ew. Okay, we're gonna move right along because I can't.
Thanks, you made
this.
The face I needed you to make. Nice.
That's stories. That's episode 41.
Woo!
Dab. Okay, I'll have to change the name to White House because I didn't know you were covering that. Anyways.
Correct. I tried to just the house on the hill, get it? Huh?
I was thinking like some horror movie, like what the like.
Yeah,
you
it,
got
does,
me.
It does sound like a horror movie house. I was actually kind of hoping that until I said president, you wouldn't catch it, but you're a little quicker on the uptake.
You, when you said burn down, I was like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Hold up. Where are we at? Because you didn't mention the place, and I was like, no, we have to be consistent. Yeah. My anal retentive braid was like, no. Okay, cool. Fun stuff. Check us out on our website at www.hauntherd.com. EveryoneKnowHer.com.
Yeah.
If you have any stories,
please
email them to us. I'm getting it's Give exhausting me. To get people to send stories in. So if you have anything big or small, send it over. We don't care. I mean, you've heard the stories up at this point. So like, send them on over. They're pretty cool. You can check us out on our social media. There we go. Yeah. My brain, it's tired. I went to Korean barbecue and I ate so much food. I had to unbutton my pants while we were doing this recording.
Wow. That's a lot of food.
Yeah, it was bad. So much fucking meat. Anyways, check us out on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at...
HHIBKH Podcast.
Get it, girl. Okay, so if you get on Instagram, you're going to get me. And if you get on Twitter, you're going to get Zoe.
Sup, nerds.
Hello. And...
I think that's the things.
Is that it?
I think so.
Is that it? Yeah, you can also hop on our website and drop off some suggestions if you
want. Yes, please. That's also fun. We just like interaction. That's always cool and fun.
Yeah, it always makes us happy. Yeah. We usually cry.
Yeah.
Because we're like, oh, there's people like us and we don't feel like we're stupid. Okay, cool. All right, so are we good?
Yeah, I think so.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, cool. All right. So until next time.
Yeah.
Haunt her.
I barely know her. Or John Adams.
Did you hear my Google go off?
No. Did Google go off?
It
did. Why?
Yeah, apparently it did. I don't know why. Anyways, all right, we're done.
Okay, goodbye.